Welcome to Good Returns TV. I'm Philip McAllister. Joining me in the studio today is John Stavliosis. Did I get that right?
Yep.
Why is it close? The portfolio manager at Antipodes, based in Sydney. And so this is really interesting. So John is running, or one of the managers, in the first emerging market PIE fund in New Zealand. Is that correct?
That's right, yeah.
Yeah. So why do you think we haven't had EM funds in New Zealand before?
Yeah, I don't know. It's a bit of a unique asset class, I guess, and it doesn't get the same attention as, you know, global, etc. But, you know, we think that's wrong. That's why we thought we'd launch the PIE fund.
And the PIE fund, the fund itself, isn't brand new. Can you just tell me how big it is and how long the strategy's been running?
Yeah, so it's quite small. It's in the order of, you know, been incubated with around 20 million, but it's been running for 2.5 years, since October 2022. And importantly, Antipodes has been running Asia mandates since inception. And when you look at Antipodes, total is about $10 billion under management. Around $2 billion of that is invested within emerging markets. So we've got a long track record of investing in this area.
And so the big question, you know, from an advisor's point of view, or from an investor's point of view, is where does emerging markets fit into a portfolio?
Yeah. Yeah, look, EM in the short term is a risk asset class. So it will move with risk appetites of the markets. But in the medium term, it's exposed to the underlying growth of these emerging market economies. And these emerging market economies make up almost 80% of the world's population, almost 50% of world GDP, and they're growing faster than developed markets. So in that respect, the returns are quite diversified from what you would get investing in New Zealand, Australia, or the US. So in the medium term, I think it gives you quite good diversification and higher growth.
And so are you taking on a higher level of risk than, say, a developed market fund?
Yeah. Look, I think you are, because of that short-term higher risk exposure. People see this as a risk asset class, so you will get that higher volatility in the short term. Mm. Yeah.
And one of the interesting things about emerging markets is they tend to be trading at quite a discount, I guess, to the developed markets. Can you talk me through why that is and how that might change?
Yeah, look, it's simple, you know, risk premium, right? So if it is a higher risk asset class, it'll trade with a higher risk premium. And there's the element of the unknown. These countries are not where most investors live, and it's where people travel for holidays normally. But when you look at that discount right now, or I'll mention it the other way, premium of developed markets over EM, it's currently at 55% premium. The PE
premium. So 55% premium for developed markets.
Over emerging markets. Yeah. And if you look at that, yeah, it's actually the highest level ever, like higher than COVID, higher than GFC period. And historically, that level has been closer to around the 20% range. So it is a period of excessive.
So is that driven by developed markets being got a higher premium on them, or the other way around, emerging markets having a wider discount?
It's a bit of both.
Bit of both.
So there's the equity concentration in the Magnificent Seven. And another interesting fact is, if you look at the market cap of the Magnificent Seven, it's currently 2.3 times the market cap of the whole MSCI EM index. So it's quite showing you that level of concentration in that quality US market right now. Yeah. And that's a key driver of that valuation disparity.
Yeah, we were just talking about that with one of my other guests today. Yeah. She says it's been quite, and just the size of the Magnificent Seven, or the Batmans as we have now, you know, is pretty major. You know, there's quite a deal of uncertainty about how we think about allocations to emerging markets right now, isn't there? How do we sort of get over that?
Yeah, look at this point in time, that's why we've got this biggest premium of DM over EM, and what we sort of think on this front is you need to actually be quite selective. So risk is currently elevated. Emerging markets have actually been performing quite, I guess, sensibly in how they're running the economies. The macro environment has been quite stable in many of these emerging markets, but the risks are elevated. So in our view, you need to be quite selective in what you're buying in terms of region, in terms of sector, and in terms of equity. And the opportunity is, when you've got this uncertainty and this big valuation discount, usually, you know, the statement of the tide rises all ships. Well, it goes the other way as well, right? And that's what's happened in EM.
Yeah.
And that's where you've got an opportunity to buy really high quality, resilient businesses that are growing at cheap valuations.
So my recollection is, you know, many years ago when we had some EM funds on the market here, they were quite volatile. Is that still the case?
Yeah, look, like I said, in the short term, there's volatility, but I think in the medium term, because of that underlying growth, it sort of starts to mimic the volatility seen global markets. That's the way I'd describe it.
How do you go about stock selection? Do you do lots of company visits and you know, go and tour, you know, India and yeah. Vietnam and Mexico and stuff?
Yeah, yeah. So combination, right? We're based in Sydney. We've got a team of six that are looking at emerging markets specifically, and we leverage the broader global team, which is a total of 31 people. Mm-hmm. We travel, each of us do a couple of trips a year. We have there's three Chinese nationals in the team, one Brazilian national. And for example, that analyst went back home to see his family in Brazil over Christmas and stayed and worked there for another 5-6 weeks. Now, the reality is where our edge is, though, is in our research. We start at the industry level and we do quite a lot of deep industry research, and we try to find mispriced securities exposed to these industries.
So do you end up with the same industries in different countries, or is it country specific?
No, it's either or, but it's generally driven by the industry. Mm-hmm. And what we'll look for is a mispriced industry that might be because of a structural change. For example, AI as an opportunity. What are the industries that will benefit from AI? Or it might be from a cyclical perspective. China property has been in an extended downturn. Are there opportunities there? And what we'll do there is, after we've done that deep industry research, we'll find stocks that we think are extremely undervalued for the growth and resilience of those businesses. And that may be across different countries.
So is EM a value play?
Well, it's interesting, right? We're a value manager.
Yeah.
We're seeing great value in EM, but our portfolio actually currently has a higher growth tilt.
Oh, yeah.
Because we're able to buy growth companies at a very cheap valuation. And to put it simply, this data point is from a month ago and the market's moved a bit, but I know these numbers off the top of my head, so I'll give you these numbers. You know, China MSCI was trading at 10 times at the time, and the EPS growth forecast was 13%. Mm-hmm. I think that's probably overstated for this year. Probably it's going to come in lower than that. Our holdings had a PE of 12 times, so premium to the market, but we were seeing growth of 20% with our assumptions, which we think factored in the weakness in the macro there. So that's how we're sort of positioning. And that goes back to our earlier comment of the uncertainty in EM.
Oh, interesting. And obviously, one of the big topics of discussion in the business world, investing world at the moment, is tariffs. So how do you think about tariffs in the context of emerging markets?
Yeah, look, tariffs are going to be disruptive to global trade and global economies everywhere, right? Now, the first point is, I don't think tariffs are going to be this 25% blanket across the world. That would be very detrimental to the US economy. And President Trump's actions have told you that's not how it's playing out as well. Mm. Now, the other thing is that the impact around the world is going to be quite specific. Take China, which is at the epicenter of the trade war. They've been in a trade war with the US for 8 years.
8 years, yeah.
Right. US exports to the US as a percentage of total are only 15%. And US exports as a percentage of GDP is only 2.5%. Mm-hmm. That is not a huge amount. There are many other countries around the region that
so
will be far more impacted.
Countries like Vietnam and stuff like that?
That's right. Yeah. Vietnam would have a huge impact. And what's interesting, countries like Vietnam, Singapore, Korea, Japan, they've also got a reciprocal tariff impact. So the tariff they're charging on US goods coming into their country is higher than the tariff that the US charges on the goods going into the US. And that's one of the things Trump is trying to address quite aggressively. So the view on tariffs, especially from an EM perspective, is it's not a blanket impact. There are opportunities that where there will be an impact, and there are opportunities where there won't be an impact, and that's not being priced.
So how hard does that make your stock selection process, having this uncertainty and having these awful tariff things floating around?
Yeah, look, the way I describe it is uncertainty also creates opportunity. So it's really ensuring that we've got a very rigorous process that starts at the industry, falls into the, you know, into the stock investment cases, and something like tariffs is something that you can quite easily, you know, incorporate into that process. Yeah.
And obviously the other big issue we talk about a lot at the moment is artificial intelligence, AI, you know, and that's been quite a driver of global equity markets. How does AI sort of sit in or impact in the emerging market field?
Yeah, look, initially what happened with the market's view on AI was it was going to drive Mag 7, right? And that's why we had that comment we said earlier, all the equity value's gone there. The announcement last month of DeepSeek, which is the Chinese-developed AI model that leveraged the large open source fundamental models, actually catching up to, you know, what the best AI model in the world, where that was 3 months ago, is hugely significant. What it tells you is that by leveraging an open source fundamental model, many companies around the world can now actually create or fine tune these models to create applications that are very user friendly and create value for their customers. So what that means is AI is actually going to benefit not just the Magnificent Seven, but companies all around the world. And for the EM in specifically, there'll be companies that benefit and the populations will benefit, because technology helps these emerging market populations, you know, create wealth and have better services. So I think it's a really interesting change that's happened in the last month.
And just finally, looking at your slide deck, you know, your overweight or your biggest country is allocation is China, and your reasonably significant overweight there, despite the fact that things aren't so good in China. Can you explain that?
Yeah, sure.
Why?
So look, with China, our view is not that we're not going into a big macro cycle. We think the stimulus is coming and it's going to be quite piecemeal, but the government has made it quite clear that they want to put a floor on the economy. So if the economy gets worse, there'll be more stimulus that helps us come out of this. One of the key things we follow is the property market, given almost 50 to 60% of people's wealth is in property. And a year ago, we saw a shift in the government's rhetoric to focus on clearing inventory. That's hugely important because supply and demand tells you that that should put a floor on pricing. And since October, we've seen tier one city pricing start to tick up on a month-on-month basis. So putting all that together, you're actually seeing a situation where the macro is not getting worse and should be improving slightly. Property prices starting to bottom, which will give confidence back, consumption, and potentially inflation coming back into the market. And all of that is being overlaid in a situation where you've got some of the best quality companies in China, and I'd say quality companies in the world, that are trading at extremely low valuations. So if you look at our China book in the portfolio, it's very much exposed to structural growth opportunities. It's exposed to property names, exposed to this secondary or existing home sales improvement, and also some of the internet platform names that are now got new structural growth drivers with AI implementation, et cetera. And we're buying these companies at very attractive valuations. So that's why we're overweight China. We think that the uncertainty macro has now bottomed, and that's left an opportunity to buy resilient growth companies at cheap prices.
Fascinating. Thank you, John. We'll wind it up there. It's great to learn more about the Emerging Markets Fund, and it's nice to have another product on the market.
Yeah, great. Thanks for having me.
Awesome. Cheers.